Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news.
Hell yeah!
Podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
We're a garage band now.
Oh, my God!
And don't forget about Wesley Coleman. Wesley Coleman in the house. Hey.
Complete coincidence that I returned to the same time Carl Granderson got out of jail.
Coincidence. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. Welcome in another edition, the BS and Beer Podcast. Today, the entire crew is here. We got, what's your name again? Heath Elsenson here. We got Tomas Mauricio.
Always present.
Wesley Coleman. Just ready to do nonstop Saints talk. So the first thing we need to talk about is this Popeye's chicken thing.
There you go. Yeah.
Nonstop Saints talk. Wesley, what's going on? Okay, I didn't hear the news. Apparently, I'm like, where'd they open that? And they said across the nation. I thought they were already open. So just systematically, everybody opened
Popeye's.
No, they
just came out with this chicken sandwich, man.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Popeye's have been there. The chicken sandwich is new.
So, okay. So, I've never heard of a chicken sandwich before. Tell me more about this unique new thing.
It's
called
wonderful, Dave. It's wonderful. Makes Chick-fil-A look like a sparrow or something. I don't know.
The rumor that I hear, Dave, is that they took a piece of bread and they put a piece of chicken on it, and then they put a piece of bread on top of the piece of chicken.
Wait. You're saying a layer of bread, a layer of chicken, and another layer of bread.
Yeah. But don't forget the pickles.
They forgot about the pickles and the mayonnaise.
That's a whole. You mean more layers.
There might be some spicy mayonnaise or pickles. I don't know.
And you were reading a review, and you got cut off. Okay, so, and nobody heard you, including us, but I want to hear the review. The review was good.
So the review is that the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich is it tastes like it was cooked by a nice white lady named Sarah who probably grew up in the hood. It's got some good flavor there, but Sarah cares about your cholesterol and she's careful about that breading and that grease content.
Yeah, don't want all
now,
that.
The
right?
Popeye's chicken sandwich, Dave. This one is going to come from an older black lady named Lucille.
Lucille,
she is an usher at the church. Damn. She has 12 grandkids she takes to that church every Sunday, and she hands them mints out of her purse. Everyone calls her Medea. Now, here's the deal, Dave. Medea doesn't give a crap about your cholesterol. You know what? Because Medea knows that God's in control.
That's right.
And it's above her.
Yeah,
that's
right.
There you go.
It's out of her hands.
Gotta get an amen.
That explains
and
it.
You can get the Popeye's chicken sandwich on Sundays.
Hey, on Sunday.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. So order it for game day.
They won't have it in Atlanta. Don't worry about it.
All right. More breaking Saints news.
Yes,
I hear that what's the name of that other chicken place that they having a special. So what other chicken y'all want to talk about while we on it? Cane's I was talking about. Cane's, I heard Cane's is having a special. No? Nobody want to review the Cane's chicken?
Nah. Yeah, they're pieces of scrawny. Mm. Look like pigeons.
Like,
speaking of Saints football, a Louisiana team did win the Little League World Series.
There you go. Nice.
Yes.
River Ridge. I mean,
River Ridge.
Awesome. Yeah. Ridge, yeah. Baby.
I watched that game. I that was awesome, man. Those kids are damn good.
And they
good.
Came back from the loser's bracket.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've set
first team ever to lose the first game and win the championship. The one kid had record number of
hits.
17 hits, I'm thinking. just on and on.
And
man.
The
I mean,
pitcher,
they were awesome.
The pitcher just kept striking people out.
You talking about the kid with the beard?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was 6'3".
Yeah.
He was just throwing heat. They called him a unit.
Yeah, that's right. But he's
that's
only 12.
What's funny is the three pitchers that pitched in that game, the one for Louisiana and the two for the other, were the smallest kids on the field.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you would think that it was just surprising.
Some abnormally large kid that developed a little bit too early and you want to see his birth certificate would be pitching?
No, yeah, it wasn't.
Especially the one from Curacao, you know.
Yeah, you never know about that.
Yeah.
I mean, they throw him junk, too, breaking pitches, sliding inside, and it's like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah,
the kids can't handle that. But all you got to do is stick the bat out. You only got to go.
Well, this kid from Louisiana was leading off with off speed stuff. I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how much it's changed in the
over time. Well,
you know,
one of the things
30 years since the first time I watched that tournament on TV, it's changed so much.
One of the things that I've noticed about sports and then having kids later in life is when we were kids, I played football, and then after football season, I'd play baseball. I didn't play basketball, but some kids played football, basketball, and baseball. Now, it's a business. I mean, you play football, it's year-round. Maybe you get a couple of weeks off in the summer to go visit or go on vacation, but for the most part, you know, it's...
And baseball's
it's
the same way.
Yeah, I mean, any of the sports
baseball's
you do, you
even
know?
Longer, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, anyway, I do understand the Saints got on the field, played a little football against the Jets. I heard they looked pretty good.
They did.
Came out. Listen, I'll be the first one to argue. Show me what the starters do. The rest of it, interesting, but I don't think it has a lot of bearing on what's going to happen in the season. The Saints came out, Drew Brees, first playing time of the season, moves the ball right downfield.
4 of 6.
And next surgical. 4 of 6, just dominated. And then I think it's, I don't know, it's almost disrespectful. They're like, I'm going to go sit down now. Y'all go ahead and take this over. So, and from that, we can talk about how great it was, and the rest of it, we can criticize Bridgewater and all the other guys. And now we may have found a punt returner.
You think so?
I'm just saying. Wesley, we got a punt returner.
Beyond just the knowing the speed, the guy broke some tackles and stuff, and that guy, hey, he's electrifying. He's exciting. If he's going to hold on to the ball, he's going to have a pretty good career here.
And he did play wide receiver.
He actually caught a few balls.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I noticed about him, Heath, I feel like relative to guys I've seen return the ball for the Saints, he just seems to run recklessly, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean it seems like he is just moving down the field.
He does, and
it seems like he he's not a big guy.
No, well, that's the scary part about it.
Right,
is
takes
the way
a hit the
he
wrong
runs
way.
Combined with his size is, you know, it's gonna. He was playing that assumption in his college career and everything, and that level of competition. Stepping it up here, it's going to be a matter of how many times he takes the big shot.
Right,
you know, coming down the field. And but good thing about it is he doesn't take too many direct shots, and that's why he's good. So
being elusive. Now, Tomas, one of the things I feel like, based on my experience in watching Saints returners, is forget about the return ability, just how much confidence you have with their ability to cleanly field the ball when catching it.
Well, that's the
thing.
And
he seems like he does it effortlessly.
Yeah. He has a natural talent. He knows how to catch the ball, and he knows how to read the field so that once he's decided, this is what I'm going to do, he hits the hole and he's gone. So in that one long punt return, for example, he zigged, he zagged, but you could tell he knew exactly where he was going. Mm-hmm. And then finally at the very end, to me, one of the most impressive parts was the punter actually had the angle on him.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last minute, you saw him go, I'm going to go faster.
And he turned go faster.
A little bit more, and the punter was like, oops. And
Wesley, you have something to add to it?
Yeah, but both of us, one thing I agree totally, Tomas, is the guy's smart too. Like, as somebody who's not supposed to make the team, even last week when he was returning good, people were saying, yeah, it's Marcus Sherrill's job, he's just looking good. But he is not forcing the return. Like, he knows, okay, nope, I need a fair catch this one, I don't need a return. Like, he's making good decisions.
Yes.
And what you said, Dave, he's not very big. He's 5'6", 170.
I didn't realize he was that small.
He is really not big. Very big.
Yes, right. Yeah, we have to make a new column for him on the –
Well, I mean, I think his performance is really I think he stood up and proved that he wanted the job.
Right.
But the other guys can't even get on the field. I mean, Sherrill's has been missing since the first week of preseason.
Hurt. He's been
hurt.
Well,
I know, but
the other guy from LSU, Cyril.
Yeah.
He did okay, but.
Well, he didn't do that in college. The guy was running track in college.
Well, I know.
Mean, that's not even his.
Yeah. Well,
I think he's going to make the practice squad.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. I think so.
You could see some development there, but the one thing that I brought up to you, Tomas, and it makes me feel confident is that I don't know if you have a kid that's never really played football on that level and have him back there in a meaningful game. You just got to be able to field the ball, and I'm not ready for a guy who's never done it before to get out in a big time.
I have a problem with it.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable. I'm not saying he can't do it. Maybe he'll prove me wrong.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people who feel the same way, Dave, that they think, you know, the kid's never done it really – you know, with 80,000
people. Wait, who are you
people.
Talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the LSU kids. Is it?
Yeah.
He's not talking about Harris.
I'm not worried about him.
Oh, no.
I'm ready. I'm ready for him to step
Grace,
in.
Cyril Grace. Yeah.
Now, Heath, you brought up in a text message, because Tomas had asked the question, you brought up about Cyril, his experience in that he actually is ranked highly.
10 years.
I mean,
10 years.
Yeah, it's his thing. I mean, that's what he's made his career on. I think second in the league in return yards and touchdowns since 2012 or something. I mean, the Saints brought him in specifically to be that guy. He has $1.5 million worth of guaranteed money. But at this point, I mean, if he can't get on the field.
No, it's a no-brainer. You're not going to get
rid of. And this kid has done enough, right? If he had just, okay, you know, you could still hand it to Sherrill's gone in the season. But now?
No,
I don't know.
And I'll ask you guys this in a round table kind of thing. Throw it out there. What was our weakest, I don't want to say position. Like, I don't necessarily mean it has to be cornerback. But what are the weak spots on our team last year, maybe the last 2 years? Tight end, right? What else? What's a
punt,
what's
return,
a
kick return?
Punt return, Lewis. Kick return.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the thing is we've obviously, I say obviously, I feel like we have an experienced, explosive tight end that's going to improve that facet of the game. And if this kid steps up and is just a solid returner, fills the ball cleanly and doesn't turn it over,
yeah,
we've improved two major parts of our team.
Yeah.
That allows us to take the next step.
The question to me really comes down to how many receivers are the Saints going to keep? And Harris is going to be taking up a receiver spot, and how much can he contribute in offense? Versus the fact that Sherrill's, while he doesn't have a ton of cornerback playing time in the league, he does seem to at least be serviceable at a position where, quite frankly, we have some weakness.
Right. Well, but you have enough tape now on Deontay Harris, that you won't be able to sneak him through.
Because the thing here is this.
Well, that's another thing.
Somebody's going to pick him up.
You might eat some money, but the thing about it is he is a 10-year veteran. You have to imagine he's lost a step. And, you know, you got a young kid that's going to be cheap.
Yeah.
Man, and going to be on your team for several years at bare minimum money. I think that there's a business decision that needs to be made.
And Harris can run the four or five plays a season that Tommy Lee Lewis was asked to run.
Exactly.
And on top of being a much better kick returner and punt returner.
Yep.
And then just kind of throwing out, I know we were jumping back and forth, but I'll tell you, Cyril Grayson, what he's done, he's a football player. He's not a 2019 NFL football player yet, but I agree that he's going to be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
That kid it's super impressive to have not played organized football. I mean, there's a lot of fast people that have tried to do this. There's a lot of strong people that have tried to be defensive linemen and offensive linemen. There's a skill to it. The fact that he's hung on like this long and he's still making some plays, like that guy is a football player a couple years from now, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, really, possibly.
Well, the epitome of a practice squad, a developmental player, a guy that shows all the potential and ends up being a player down the road. But he's definitely someone, you know, unlike Marcus Davenport, we didn't give up two first-round draft picks, so people are going to be patient. I say that until next offseason, we'll hear the fans complaining.
Yeah.
He's been around long enough. Yeah. He needs to pay off or he needs to go find another job somewhere else. So it'll be interesting, and he's definitely a guy we want to keep an eye on. Speaking of our guy, Marcus Davenport, he's been catching a lot of flack. Heath, I feel like you have something to say. We talked about it quite a bit last week, Tomas.
Yeah.
Heath,
well,
let's get some.
I don't think it's time to completely throw him out yet, but Trey Hendrickson certainly came into this year deciding he wanted to try to make it interesting. Somebody didn't tell Trey Hendrickson you're supposed to be on a bench while Davenport starts. Now, do I think that Hendrickson's going to be day one starter? No, I don't think so. Okay. But I feel a whole lot better about the position, seeing what he's done this preseason and the fact that he's a little heavier and a little stronger, and it seems to be showing on the field. Because that was a little bit, with Okafor being gone, that was definitely a question
mark. Something to worry about. Yeah. And look, he's obviously been doing some arm stretching, you know, getting off season, getting with those guys.
I don't know if it's that his arms are so short or his upper body is
his torso,
so long, because he's got short legs too.
Yeah, he's just squatty, man. Yeah. But the thing is, Tomas and I talked about this in depth last week. He's a guy that has a high motor, and for me, I'm not ready to give him any blessing until I see him transition into the real games with that, because most of his playing time is coming not against starters.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, if you're not dominating the backups, then who thinks you're going to do it against the starters?
But like, for example, in the first game, Davenport had a bad game.
Absolutely.
However, he was double-teamed a lot of the game. He was. And so not playing opposite of Cam Jordan and having some of the other starters
gives you a lot more attention.
He's getting more attention. So I would love to have seen him look better up to this point, but I'm not willing to. At this point, I'm not ready to just write him off as a buster. Although the two picks stings. He's got a long way to go.
And I would say this to you. Look, the defense is just like the offense. We're going to have a variety of packages. And so different players are going to fill in different roles with these different packages.
Yeah.
So, you know for sure Davenport is not going to be a guy who's playing all three downs, you know what? He's not. You know, we're going to have different kinds of defenses that will be called depending on the matchups. So, you know, I'm not concerned. I'm more relieved, I guess, just like Dave said, because missing Okafor, I was like, okay, how are we going to cover that on that side? So I think now with having seen T-Hex step it up a little bit, I feel much more comfortable with that position, you know? So we'll see. Besides that, I think there are a couple of linebackers who are young and hungry as well, who are showing a little bit, that will also step in where Okafor used to drop back into coverage.
BS and Beer, a national institution since... it's a really cool show.
All right, so we got some really good news here just in this early this week.
Well, it might be good news.
Sheldon Rankins.
Might be good news.
Boy, here we go. No, all right, let me finish down. Sheldon Rankins goes down in early January with a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
And
torn what?
Achilles.
Oh,
Achilles.
Yeah. Wow, it must be. Is that the French pronunciation?
Yeah, man, I worked on my pronunciation earlier.
Macron.
Okay. And then, where was I? Oh, yeah. So anyway, he comes back, and we're talking about the news that broke on Tuesday was that they expect him to play by game four. They took him off the PUP list. And Matt, this is what I was confused about, and I don't know, it's starting to become a little clear. Why wait? Why do it now? Why not wait till after the fourth game, and it gives you that much more time? But they obviously feel that he's going to be back before week six, because he would, if he went on the regular season PUP, he would have to be out till week six. Wesley?
Yeah, there's some rules with also with preseason pup. They want, and they can always put him back on the
regular season
before the week one if something happens, but the preseason pup, he can't be active out in practice and all. And they said that the stuff he's doing in rehab and the running on his own, he completely is like past all that. Like, he needs to get out and start banging into bodies and running on the football field. So they took him off now. But yeah, and then I read today, like, we got a reappearance of Nick Underhill, who left us for the Patriots. He pops up with some Saints news today, saying that Rankins is expected back week four. Week four.
Yeah. Right.
So that would be huge if we get him back.
I mean, huge if he's the old Sheldon. Yeah, how long will it take him to be the old Sheldon? Now, I hear some skepticism when I brought this news up. I heard on my right side some, and on my left side, well, we'll see. So, fellas, what is it that you're thinking?
Yeah. I think the same doctor evaluated him that evaluated Dalvin Bro for a couple of years, because – you know, a guy his size, right, of all of the people on the field, the heaviest guys, the guys pushing against big bodies in the trenches where all your weight is on that tendon in your leg, and he would have to have had the fastest Achilles recovery in the history of the world, okay?
It'd be somewhere around 7 months.
So, you know, call me skeptical. And, in fact, the wording was even hope to – have him back as early as the fourth week. And I'm like, yeah, that's a whole lot of covering your bases, you know.
Yeah, allegedly.
Backtracking built into the headline. But go ahead. Who knows?
I just say I agree with what Wesley said, in that all indications are is that he's passed all the rehab he can do without actually putting on the pads and getting out there. So, okay, fine. But I still don't believe that he will be as effective at the beginning of the season as he will towards the end, as long as there's not another reoccurrence of some other tweak that he gets. I mean, let's just remember that this kid over at the Indianapolis Colts, you know, who's injury prone, I guess, what Dave would be saying.
Uh-huh.
You know,
the quitter.
He finally said, "I've had enough."
Who, Luck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because, let's talk about Luck for a minute,
because you see, they lie. You know, this is the thing. You know, in the NFL, unless you really can see the injury, they're not going to really tell you the depth of it. I have a suspicion that his injury that they talked about, oh, it's just like a little sprain or something. I have a feeling that it's a major injury, and they realized, well, he's going to be out for half the season or more with this new injury. And I think the kid just said, screw it, I had enough, you know? So you never know how serious the injuries are. Just going on what we've seen in the past, players who hurt their Achilles the way that Rankins did, I don't know of any that comes back in 6 to 7 months. I'm sorry, I just don't. And then you're going to take a chance because, like Heath said, when you're in the line and you're going to push off against these big, huge offensive linemen, you're not really using your ribs, you know? You're using the Achilles tendon. Yeah. You're using your heels, your calves. I mean, that's where all the pressure comes from. So it's an interesting move by the Saints. Had he stayed on PUP, or even if they put him back in PUP once, this, you know, right before the first game, after game number four. And maybe that's their idea. Maybe they're going to say, we're going to play him in four and see how he is, and then make another determination and put him back on PUP. I mean, it's possible. But remember, that's taking a position away that we might have been able to put somebody in.
Yeah.
So
maybe they were looking at preseason, and outside of Onyemata said, oh, my God, we got to hope he can come back soon.
Well, but they picked up a couple of people.
They did, but
you know that they're doing. They're not Rankins, obviously.
Right.
You know, but they're also not bad at what they're doing. Stallworth certainly presented himself last year as being a workable, serviceable.
I like Stallworth. Player.
I mean, he's a run stopper. Yeah. He's not a Sheldon Rankins, who's a difference maker. He makes plays.
But he's enough to keep from double teaming the outsides. You know, it's not like they can rotate somebody to chip him on the inside. You know, so
the problem is no matter how you slice them and dice them and stack them in there, we still have problems putting pressure on a quarterback. That's the bottom line.
But I think it's because of the type of defense that we play. I really think that. No. I really think that's part
of
the
issue.
They
need to play a different kind of defense.
I really do, because if you watch consistently, what they're doing is they're just trying to knock the offensive line back in the center. They're not really, you know, with rare exception, are they really trying to get to the quarterback.
Well, they're trying to push the pocket, and not all pass rush is about getting – I mean, you'd like to.
Yes,
but you're basically saying, look, each play is designed a certain way. You want to have the quarterback in his head have less than X amount of seconds.
Exactly.
3 seconds, he needs to get that ball out of his hands. Yeah. Now, if the ball snapped and you just standing in place, running in place, then the quarterback has all day. So at some point, if you lose in containment, this is the thing, what you just brought up, the first thing that comes to my mind is Will Smith, a very good defensive end. I wouldn't say he was a game changer, but this is what he did. He rarely beat his man like I'm using Pat Swilling, where you basically – you get under his pad, you get your shoulder up, and you get up the field. But he would take his guy and push into the quarterback.
Yeah.
And the quarterback knew he may not break free, but I only have 2.8 seconds, or Will Smith will throw the tackle into my lap.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of, if that's what you're saying,
yes.
I kind of agree with you that the Saints' defense is almost, it seems as though they game plan to say, look, collapse the pocket, give him 2.5 seconds to throw, and we'll cover the back end.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Heath says, maybe that's not the right approach. I don't know, and that's not my point. I see what you're saying. Is that
it can be the right approach if you have the linebackers to cover it, and I think we do. Davis, again, I don't know if you saw Baldy's breakdown of Davis playing, but Davis, you know, he had over 100 tackles the year before at the Jets. He had over 100 with the Saints. I mean, the guy is a tackling machine. So if you have him in there and Anzalone in there, you know, you've got a lot of speed that goes from end to end, so you can make up what the defensive line doesn't get in a sack. They can make up by that pressure and make them make mistakes. So, you know, I mean, I'm just looking at it from that perspective. But now you're talking about the defensive line. Now, Dave, I know one of your favorite players. You know, you make fun of me because of my UDFAs, and I know there's a UDFA that you really fell in love with. When the Saints signed him, you were like giddy about it. So go ahead and talk about your boy.
You got to tell me a name because
right here, brother, right here.
Oh, you just transitioned for me. Thank you.
You
so I'm super excited that Granison is now going to be able to join the team. And if the other team, whoever we play, feels some little girls or something, we have a really good chance of getting after him on a whole different level. So I'm just saying, between him and PJ Williams, Wesley, give us the breaking news, man. What was the PJ? They pushed back his.
Yeah, PJ Williams, instead of being charged with a driving while intoxicated, they pled it down today to reckless operation of a motor vehicle. Basically, it's a $340 fine. Now, having said that, the NFL still do whatever they want.
Right.
And suspend him for disciplinary action, do whatever they want. But as of now, he has not been suspended for any games for the season.
So what you're telling me is that P.J. Williams can now drive Granderson to the middle school.
You sure he hasn't been suspended for preseason?
Who's that?
P.J. Williams.
I see where you're going with this, Heath. Heath is not delighted with the play of P.J. Williams. Tell us more, Heath.
Yeah, I'm not delighted with him or P-Rob. It's like outside of Lattimore and Apple, we got some problems in the defensive backfield.
I
maybe Von Bell. I'll throw him in with Lattimore and
what? No, I think Von Bell's been playing.
Wait, what did you?
I'm not gonna put him in there.
Okay, now you're gonna.
I'm putting him in with Apple and Lattimore as being the only three.
You discredit yourself.
No.
Hold on.
I'm saying he's the only other one that I've been impressed with.
I want you to know I didn't stop the recording so that he could change his mind and not look like a fool. He was misunderstood. It's a legitimate misunderstanding.
I'm often misunderstood.
But, yeah, so anyway, PJ, Granderson, we got our legal issues squared away. No problems. Yeah. All right, moving forward.
Well, now, he won't be getting any little girls because the guy who provided the little girls, you know, supposedly committed suicide. Yeah. So
hung himself with
I mean, snapped a whole bunch of vertebra, but he hung himself, you know. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, just put it out there for you.
Hung himself with a wet napkin with some toilet paper.
That's it. And snapped a bunch of vertebra at the same time.
Here's what I want to know. Where's the controversy? Right?
What do you mean?
Like, they're making a big deal out of it. Like, who cares? Right?
Well, no, because he was about... Dude, it's another one of those... look, we're turning political, but I'm not a political guy, but it's funny that the list of
ready
people
to,
that... What's her name? Hillary Clinton had killed.
He's number 89.
He's like number 70.
89.
Or do you, okay, there's 89. A website 89. Out there. People who are associated with Hillary Clinton
murdered. I know it was a lot, but it was 89.
I'm sure committed suicide.
There had to be some exaggeration, but that's just hilarious.
They put the list out.
Oh, well,
I thought it was like 14 or something.
One of them apparently was going to vote against them in their homeowners association about a water hose being rolled up. Dead. Next day, had a stroke.
Yeah.
So they found him with a self-inflicted shotgun wound to the back of the head.
That was the guy Foster. You're laughing. But that's Foster. That's how he died.
To the back of the head.
He had two gunshots to the back of his head. Said, oh, suicide.
Oh, man.
He was a contortionist.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have thought she would have taken out Bill at some point?
Yeah, you think Bill. Like,
you would
Bill
think
I
so.
Have
you think she'd have been 90. First on her list.
I think they look at each other and go, you know, which one of us is going to flinch first?
Go to bed
they
just
need
kind
each
of
other.
Staring at
They need and
they
deserve
each
other.
Other.
Yeah.
Do you think when they go to bed, they kind of look at each other, big eyes, and they walk in
they
backwards?
They both sleep with one eye.
Yeah, they staring at each other as they back into their separate bedrooms.
Yep.
Good night, baby. All right, good night.
No, Hillary, you know. I'm watching you, Hillary, now.
All right.
Don't do nothing funny
we,
now.
We got a Twitter.
Football season coming on, Hillary.
We got a Twitter from Jeff Dunaway.
I love those girls.
I haven't done
have you heard about
the
my
research. All right, enough. Order. Where is it at? Order. All right. Let's talk about the PI rule for a second. Unintended consequences of the pass interference rule. It is now turned into – look, I was for it, and I guess I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about
it. So,
But the unintended consequences of what
it's now
going to
become.
I'm glad
you brought this up because I wasn't here for the show after week one. But I never in a world expected the first use of that rule – was when Minnesota actually challenged whether somebody was blocking downfield on offensive, whether offensive pass interference should have been called.
Yeah.
Like that never even entered my mind, right, as a scenario that would have played itself out. Of course, they got that one right. We were off to a good start. Then we turn around and they called pass interference on Webster on what I think was a perfect play. I mean, he was running stride for stride with the guy, looking at the ball, going for the ball. They call pass interference. We review it. They still get it wrong. And so what it proved to me was is that this is basically going to do nothing but potentially extend games excruciatingly for no reason, because I don't see any good that's going to – we're going to have people challenging stuff that never should have been challenged. We're going to have challenges that they're not going to reverse the call on.
And you get
if
frustrated.
If they didn't reverse the call on that, they're not going to reverse the call on anything.
Well, in addition to that, you got 31 penalties in a Jets game.
Yeah.
So these guys are just yellow flag happy.
So I, you know. Anyway.
Well, you have Wesley. The look of frustration there, Wesley.
Oh no! I mean, Home Alone. Was talking look. This morning about how he thought the reviews of pass interference was going. He was talking about like that. He looking back, he challenged the play that was he doesn't understand why it doesn't get overturned, and he said that there's going to be like a learning process. He says one, there's going to be plays that you'll forget, like oh, we can challenge pass interference, and so you'll have to remember that. But he said he thinks that probably the league is going to be err on the side of caution. And if things are – if it's 50-50, if they're not sure, if it's not blatant, that they're not going to reverse calls.
Yeah.
He said they're going to probably – and there's just going to be a learning process for the coaches to be like, eh, that's
tick-tack. I'm going to go on record right now.
We shouldn't risk it.
That rule exists last year. They don't call pass interference after reviewing it on –
there ain't no way, man. There's just no way. There's just no way.
They're going to call that – they said it then. It was a judgment call. They ain't going to reverse it.
All right, let's move on. Jeff asked another question. Jeff Dunaway, and I think he said basically when Luck went down, then all the talk starts about Bridgewater. And hold on, Heath, we'll let you talk about Bridgewater. But trading him to the Colts for Ryan Kelly. Now, Wesley, you talked to Coach Pete, and what did he have to say about old Ryan Kelly?
his big thing is – that it's not the missing Bridgewater that would be a big deal to the Saints. The Saints would be fine with that. It would be that Taysom Hill would have to transition from Taysom Hill into a backup quarterback. That's where the Saints would lose in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think Taysom Hill's already got beat out Bridgewater. But okay, go ahead.
Bridgewater as our backup quarterback, let's Taysom Hill play in a bunch of different positions and be crazy and be this, you know, the Swiss Army knife. He doesn't need to be our backup yet. I mean, he's shown some great things this preseason, but Bridgewater is that gap right there.
Wesley, to help you clarify what you're saying because it's confusing,
can't trade Bridgewater.
Because he is our backup quarterback. Right.
If Taysom Hill's the backup quarterback, he's got to sit over there with a clipboard and stay healthy. He can't go play and beat Taysom Hill on the field.
Right. And I think it is important. And I think that we're going to see an expanded role for Taysom Hill because it is my opinion that last year, as the season went on, he became less effective running that read option because teams started preparing for it.
Yeah.
Now, man, you don't know. He can actually throw a ball. Teams are going to have to prepare for that. So I see
some opportunities. Well, he might not be able to throw it as well if he's not practicing as a quarterback, though. So
you're trying to blow my mind.
He's playing very well at quarterback right now because he's taking all his reps as a quarterback.
Right.
You start running him as the Swiss Army knife again, and then when you ask him to throw, he's not going to be as sharp. Right. So which way do you want it?
Right. He's in the quarterback room right now. All during the preseason, he's been in the quarterback room. He has not been in a special
team. Although I say when it really mattered, he threw a laser that – last year, man, it got called back on a penalty. Right.
Well, this year, he was in the last game, he threw a heck of a pass.
I'll make the argument that because of the type of offense the Saints have him run, that it really isn't a lot of decision-making. It's not a lot of reading. It's going
to
be
you need to watch the games more carefully. These preseason games, he's reading one, two, three.
Now, Tomas, listen to what I say before you comment.
All right, go ahead.
I'm talking about the package he'll run in the regular season. They're not going to put him in the game and have him run a regular offense. They have him run a read option. They'll have him do things like that. So then it's going to be more of plays built off of that play or run pass option. In the preseason, he's playing regular quarterback.
All right, so
I agree with
that. So what you're
telling
me, because of your experience as an offensive coordinator like Carl Smith that we used to have working for the Saints, you think he's going to have those special packages only? Is that correct?
Absolutely. Why in the world would they put him in?
You didn't catch the part about Carl Smith.
No, I did, but it just wasn't funny. No, I'm kidding. Why in the world would they put Taysom Hill in the game to do what Drew Brees does? What they do, and I'm just going, maybe they will. Maybe they'll say, you know what, Taysom, go in there and play a few snaps at quarterback. Or are they going to say, hey, you're going to do what you did last year, but we're going to expand off of the one read option run, and we're going to let you – we're going to consider letting you throw the ball in certain situations because he has shown improvement in his accuracy and his footwork and all the things made him a better passer.
I certainly think at some point it'll be to the Saints' benefit to actually put him in a game and have him run an offense that Drew Brees would run. That's designed to go down the field to catch the defense off guard, thinking he's going to do this run read option thing, drop back and throw the ball.
The problem with Hill, and he's developed a long way since last year, is he's a half-filled read quarterback. He can't read both sides of the field on one play. It's just not in his makeup yet. Bridgewater was barely doing it last year, and he's been in the league 6 years. But Bridgewater's gotten better at that. He's just not throwing the ball accurately for some reason in the last couple games. Yeah. But Hill is – he can run that run-pass option, and there's a few plays. But I think our offense, with the way that we move Michael Thomas around so that you can't double him – makes it almost impossible for a quarterback that can only read half the field. I think that Hill's shown me stuff this year that makes me think, again, he is very possibly a future quarterback. It's not now, but
right. I guess what I'm saying is, though, if they put him in,
that look great
in the regular season, they haven't even put Taysom Hill in to run a regular play,
right,
reading only half the field. They put him in doing a read option, run read thing. You know,
he had a couple,
some kind of a gimmick thing, huh?
He had a couple like Pittsburgh where he threw the ball downfield.
Yeah, but were they running in, out of a formation that Drew Brees normally runs?
No,
like,
and I agree
up there with
you. With
the same looking offense that the Saints would run.
So what
with
you're
Drew
saying
Brees.
Is you would like to see Taysom Hill in the game just running the Saints offense for developmental
at least
purposes.
At least a play or two here and there. In other words, to do something just the element of surprise doing something different than what he normally does when he comes in. That's
and
all.
I'm going to follow up on what Wesley said. If you look at the 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, how many of them can actually do what Drew Brees does, where he can get all the way to the fifth?
Well,
round?
That's not fair. I mean, how
well,
many
no, because
in
we're,
the history of the game?
No, because we're spoiled. See, this is our expectation.
Yeah,
Drew drops point. Back. He reads 1, 2. He scoots a little bit over 3, 4. Now, you tell me how many other starting quarterbacks in the league can do the same thing.
If I'm a defend Tomas, and
maybe
I'll let you respond to this. Let's see the kid in Houston and the kid in
see, he can't. Deshaun cannot. In Houston?
Baltimore.
He,
those guys aren't.
Jackson.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my response to that is when you're saying that's not fair, I think it is a fair assessment and a question, because we've got to start, as Saints fans, start wrapping our head around that Drew Brees isn't going to be here forever.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I mean, start going. There aren't other quarterbacks that can do what Drew Brees does. Even the great quarterbacks that do stuff similar don't do exactly what
right.
he does and the way
right.
he does.
Right.
I mean, he spreads the ball around more than any quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Yes.
Where, I mean, he's got games where nine people catch the ball
yes.
consistently. That's really weird. So we have to start – and Sean Payton's going to have to accept that too. Unless he's going to retire when Drew Brees retires, he's going to have to change his offense, whether it's Bridgewater or whether it's Taysom Hill.
Yes, yes,
he's going to have to
yes.
redesign his offense for something.
As y'all talking, I'm sitting here saying, man, we in for some grown – you know, you try not to worry or think about that. And not only us sitting in this room, but, boy, I mean, the fans that you're going to have to listen to on Twitter and on Saints Report and all the different call-in shows, they'll give them like they do Davenport. I'll use him as an example. Or someone – I should just use his own, but I read someone said Davenport's the new Mark Ingram. Remember Mark Ingram? He's a bust. He's terrible.
Yeah.
And the point is that whoever plays quarterback, I don't care if we get the somehow get the first pick of the draft. Well, you got to be patient, man. He's going to grow and he's going to learn. If he comes after Drew Brees, he'll have about 3 games. Then teams, hey, he's a bust. He ain't worth,
That happens with every great quarter. Look, Denver's still trying to find a replacement for John Elway. You know, Miami's still trying to find a replacement for Marino. I mean, that's just going to be, very
God.
Few teams are
that's
lucky.
That's true.
You're talking really, about giving me some more anxiety.
Well, I'm just telling you the truth. There's very few teams that say, well, we got a Steve Young sitting on the bench for 2 years. But now remember Steve Young.
We got Bridgewater.
LA Galaxy. Then he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, before it finally, he ended up with San Francisco where he was told, just go sit on a bench.
Yeah.
Carry the clipboard. We'll let you know eventually.
Yeah.
So.
Until Joe Montana
Cleveland
got his back
may just be finding a replacement for Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, no. I mean, think about that. That's
true.
That's actually true.
So,
and the Jets still haven't found anybody to play.
If he doesn't get his ass kicked before then by saying some of the crap he says, he's going to say something by the wrong person one day
and get punched in it.
Well, at least we know he knows how to drink a beer. In Oklahoma, they must have taught him how to drink a beer.
Yeah,
because he took that beer, bit into it, and then sucked it down. I was like, dude, really?
I was starting to see a lot of Johnny Manziel in that kid.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the only problem. It's like the implosion in 3-2.
The
one.
Difference, though, is he can actually play football.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he so that has an arm you get a ball, you yeah. get away with a lot more stuff.
That's a minor
Johnny
effort.
Football would still be over there. He would be in the post game. Kind of like Janikowski with a beer and a cigarette in his right hand. If he could actually throw touchdowns,
yeah,
he would be over there sitting in a lounge chair, being arrogant and doing all the stupid
you
stuff.
You mean like
he
Ken
does.
Stabler?
Like Ken Stabler?
Yeah, he'd have done good back in the Art Donovan days when he used to talk about smoking and drinking beer and eating hot dogs on the sideline. Yeah.
Where's Manziel? He's at the bar already. Y'all go meet him down there. He'll give you an interview.
There you go.
Yeah, and he'd have got away with it if he could play. So all this nonsense they talking. Look,
well, look, I'm just saying, being serious here, you know. There's no other quarterback in the league who can do what Breeze does. So we just have to come to a realization that whoever replaces him, whether it's Bridgewater or Taysom or somebody who's still playing college ball, whatever it is, if Peyton stays with the team, they're going to have to reorganize the offense around the new player. I mean, it's just that simple, you know, and there'll be some growing pains, and hopefully they'll find someone who within a few years can step up.
I think Taysom Hill is a guy that Sean Payton would love to redesign his offense around.
I agree with you. And what I've seen in a preseason so far.
Because he does different things, but he does a lot of stuff. He might do totality more than Drew Brees does.
Well, and I would say to you what Wesley said earlier. The improvement from last year to this year, and just what I've seen in a preseason with Taysom, is tremendous. As far as being a quarterback, not being a Swiss Army knife, but being a quarterback. So if he can do that much at this point, again, one more year under his belt, one more offseason under his belt, you know, I'm just telling you, I don't think Bridgewater is even the transitional guy at this point if he keeps improving the same way.
Yeah.
So
now, yeah.
Well, I mean, all right, I'm done defending Bridgewater. I mean, I'm not saying I'm done with him. But, look, I mean, look, he had a good first game.
There's still plenty enough of them left out there trying in vain to anoint Bridgewater as the next coming or whatever.
I'm just saying, man, it's a little early. It's preseason. You can't take nothing you see in preseason, right?
Okay. Or anything you see in the last regular season game of last year or anything that you saw. You know,
that's right. You can't take it.
Well, disregard all of that. He's going to be great as soon as it's his turn.
Well, truthfully now, Bridgewater could be a starting quarterback on any number of teams right now. You know, he would not be sitting on the bench on a lot of teams. He would be the guy who would be going, I'm the guy running the team. So, now, is he a guy who's going to take you to the Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't think so.
He's a guy,
he's a
guy that would be
on. Guy, and I think that he would make a team competitive. That's what I would say.
He'd be a guy, because here's the thing, and I know, he was a Pro Bowl. I mean, if you look at the stats that he had when he made the Pro Bowl with the Vikings, they were not very good at all. So when it's all said and done,
he got into the Pro Bowl because all the other guys didn't want to play and all of that.
And so when you
RG3 got to the Pro Bowl,
you look at some of the teams. RG3 had a good.
The thing
one
that worries
year.
Me about Bridgewater the most, in all seriousness, he's going to hold on to the ball too long one of these times, and he's going to get himself hurt again.
Yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
I agree.
But
I
agree. The point is there's a lot of bad quarterbacks out there, and you're right. And it's he could go out there and be a guy that throws 25 touchdowns and 12 interceptions,
for some team,
and
absolutely,
you know, and do enough to get them a 7-9 record or 6-10, and then they draft a good quarterback, and he's a transitional guy. I'm not sure. And I hate to give up on him, but I'm not sure if he's ever going to be a guy that'll be more than like, man, he's serviceable until the other guy's ready. So, you know,
the Philadelphia Eagles just signed Josh McCown, brought him out of retirement. You know, that's the kind of play. Hey, you know what? He's a dependable guy. We can count on him. He'll learn the offensive playbook. You know, in a pinch, the guy will come in and he'll do his job.
And also, God, I can't believe I can't remember his name. The Tampa Bay guy that came in for two games was the most amazing quarterback ever.
Fitzpatrick.
And now he's a starter over in Jacksonville.
Hey, did you see that Casey Kasem won the starting job in Washington over Dwayne Haskins?
Dear Casey.
Yeah.
A young
it surprised
lady writes.
Me because they didn't even
I laughed
mention
when
the other
I
guy.
Saw it. That was the first thing I thought. I heard Casey Kasem voice in my head.
Yeah, I don't know. A young girl from Western Michigan calls and says, "Dear Casey." Anyway, all right. So we had a lot of fun with that year.
Except
for the whole losing the game thing at the last second. But other than that, it was so much fun.
Well, since we're still talking defense, Dave.
Are we?
You know, let's get back to defense. We had a little interlude there with Bridgewater. But you were really focused in on defense before.
I love how he tells me what I'm doing.
And, yeah. And so I know that you wanted to get around to talk about the lack of quality defensive backs. Because you wanted to say something about, you know.
Your man Crowley?
No, your guy PJ.
PJ's, hey, listen. All right, here we go. Here we go. Heath, I'm surrounded by haters.
He can't hold his liquor.
He can't hold his liquor.
He
now
can't
that,
cover anybody on the outside. I mean, what can he do?
Tomas got mad because he got to send 350 over to get him pay his fine.
Hold on.
Yeah,
we
Wesley.
Have no charges against him for drinking.
Oh.
It was reckless and reckless operation of a vehicle.
All right, so he can't hold on to the wheel.
And so
the NFL might be listening.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
So he was hanging out the window yelling, "Jesus, take the wheel."
I'm not sure. Did Granderson get off for reckless operation of his junk?
They
had to reduce
vehicle.
The fine.
Is Raleigh going to suit up Thursday night? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Is Granderson suiting up Thursday night? Does he still have a chance to kick JT Cray off the team?
I don't think so.
I want to know if some of that ED medication is a banned substance for the NFL. I mean, if this guy.
It is.
Well. It is?
Yeah, somebody just got, I can't remember who it was.
Well, it's the stuff in the over-the-counter fake enhancement
whatever
it
was,
stuff.
Because of some guy who was going to retire, and so he took the medication, whatever it was, and he said, "Oh, I'm going to come back." And so now he's out for the first four games. Who was it?
That was Ben Watson.
Was it Ben Watson?
No wonder he got like 12 kids.
Yeah, that's who it was.
He
it was
suspended
Ben Watson.
The first four games because he was on. He was getting testosterone and.
Yeah.
No wonder he got 12 kids, man.
Well,
he was taking the fake. He was hanging out with Lamar Odom.
There you go.
And they were taking the herbal Viagra.
All righty then.
And he got that in China. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Let's see. So
it's a good thing, too, in the NFL that Patrick Chung taught us the lesson. Apparently, cocaine is frowned upon.
Yes. Apparently so.
Well.
We just discovered that. But marijuana is still questionable, right?
Yes.
Marijuana might, because I mean, I know Dave is, you know,
yes,
looking for an NFL association.
Yes. We can be the weed growers for the NFL.
Hey, why not?
Anyway, yeah. All right. So
I give you on your modest card.
Heath, you were saying how much you love PJ and he had a great season last year.
Oh,
and you're looking forward
fantastic.
To big things.
Yeah. He did. He came in. He played in the middle last year. He found a spot. He played well. This year, not so much so far. Now, I don't know if it's just because they've had him trying to play him in multiple spots.
Yeah.
And he looks the same on the outside as he always has.
Yeah.
Clueless. Okay. Head turned around the wrong way. You know, but. P-Rob hasn't looked any better in that spot.
In
either spot. Neither guy has really looked that good
outside,
anywhere they put him on the field.
Yeah. They're not pressure cover guys. They're not outside cover guys. You know, their niche is slot. That's their niche.
Yeah, well.
You know? So, but we have a problem because we need somebody out there.
Depth on the outside is an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good with our starters. After that, then.
See, I'm not even good with our starters because if you watch the. No, I'm serious.
By the way, those out there, camp. I rolled my eyes. That's why Tomas said that.
Yeah. Apple has had some.
Apple's had a terrible
had
camp.
Some bad moments.
And he hasn't had all that much good play.
It doesn't matter.
No.
We saw him play. We've seen him play. He is what he is. What he's doing in preseason makes no difference,
okay.
In my opinion.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't all of a sudden. Cam Jordan hasn't played all season. All preseason. Does that mean he's not going to be?
Well, he just played the last game and beat the shit out of the people.
Well,
the
okay, but okay, you never mind.
So you're suggesting that you're suggesting that how a veteran plays in preseason has no bearing on
no accountability
playing a regular season?
Is that sarcasm? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay,
well, there you go.
A guy like Apple.
So he can't cover in the preseason, but as soon as the lights come on,
more concerned about getting hurt or whatever. Than they are. Y'all can disagree if you want.
So you're in the camp of we should cancel preseasons.
I mean, yes. I mean,
I honestly wouldn't have much of a problem.
I'm not saying cancel it, but go down to two games, do more practice games, or what do you call it? Practice
squad games.
Yeah. No. The with other teams,
inter
squad practices and stuff. I'd be all for that because I truly believe that the good players are out there. They're just going through the motions. You know, they're just going through the motions. So, like, okay, is Eli Apple a great player? No, I think he's above average corner. He's solid. He plays well. He played well on the other side of Lattimore. And so the point is that I think that he'll turn it on just like other guys will turn it on. I mean, you know, I'm saying this, but I'm thinking of like other examples, but I keep thinking of guys who played pretty well. Like,
so just taking on what you said, then I don't understand, or I must be confused, that Drew Brees came in with the first offensive unit and they marched right down the field. They went 4 for 6. I didn't see anybody playing
you can absolutely give me examples of guys like Michael Thomas who plays hard every time he steps on the field. But for every one of those, I can give you example of guys who didn't do anything in the preseason and go on to play like they always play. If you sitting here trying to make the argument.
Right, I guess that, the point. Yeah, okay.
If you sitting here trying to make the argument that the way that veterans play in the preseason is indicative of how they play in the regular season, I'm just not even going to have that argument with you. It's silly. There's zero relationship. What they do in the preseason has no bearing on what happens in the regular season to me. So, anyway, you want to transition to...
All right, so based on what Apple did in the regular season last year, I'm concerned about the other corner.
Now, that argument you can make with
across
me.
From Lattimore, okay? Because while he was good, and he was a step above what Crawley was doing last year, he wasn't great. That's all I'm saying. Now, can every team have two guys as good as Lattimore? Yeah, well, I guess not, okay?
True story.
But...
Okay, but then, I'm going to ask y'all, are your expectations
too high? Of course, really,
I've
just talked myself back around to where I got. Safety play is a problem on this team. Guys, okay. Those guys don't have any help from the safeties
once
you get past 10 or 15 yards down the field.
Let me ask y'all this question then. How did we have a top 10 ranked defense if our defense
backs? We didn't in passing defense.
Now, keep in mind, the first 3 or 4 games. Go ahead, Wesley.
Well, I'm just saying that it's you can't break it up like that. We were winning. We had the most dominating offense in football as far as scoring efficiency for the first 12 weeks of the season. Like, people were throwing the ball against us, and our run defense was outstanding, so people were having to run the ball or having to throw the ball because they could not run against us because we were too damn good, but they also were having to pass because we were beating everybody. So I mean, that's a little bit unfair. I feel good about where we're sitting with our defense. Rankins, I mean, him being out, even if he doesn't come back, I think we made signings to replace him. Marcus Williams is one of my bigger scares because I have not seen anything from him.
Thank you.
In over a year. Like last year, he was completely useless, where Eli Apple at least did make some plays. PJ Williams did make some plays until he went out in week 2. Patrick Robinson was a high-rated nickel.
See, here's the thing, Wesley.
Last year, there was a couple plays from those people.
Here's the thing that I would say about, like, you mentioned Eli Apple. He gave up some plays, but then he doesn't make a lot of plays, but then he settles in and doesn't give up a lot. I'm not saying that he doesn't give that 8-yard pass, a 12-yard pass, but he doesn't give up the 40-yard touchdown or whatever. So my point is, you got Lattimore who shuts people down, and Apple who just does a job that's like, okay, well, he didn't give up a big touchdown this game. We feel good about it. I'm not trying to say he's great. But then we also got to look at relative to the rest of the cornerbacks around the league that, I mean, our defense was good last year. Not everybody's going to be Lattimore or not everybody's going to be. You know, I am concerned about Rankins because he is a.
We were hoping that. What's our defensive back coach? Glenn. Huh?
Yeah.
That Glenn was going to be able to get the high draft ranking out of Apple that he was. Right. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think Apple's going to continue to be the guy he's been since he came into the league.
And the question then is, is that good enough for your number 2? And I'd argue that
I think it is, especially
as long as you have Lattimore.
Forgetting for a moment that if they had any safety help at all, he'd probably look even a little better than he does now. They really, Williams is just not good. I'm sorry, Marcus Williams is not good.
I want to defend him, but I really can't. I'm not saying I want to see. This is his third year. I want to see his season. I want to see him play. And then I think this is the
year.
Well,
let's hope that your theory's right about he didn't turn it on in the preseason.
Wesley, you keep doing the Home Alone look. What do you have? Like, it's you give us the Home Alone.
I was just thinking about what I'd really like to see out of Marcus Williams this year. I'd like to see somebody else playing safety. I'm sorry. That for a safety, like, I realize that this NFL, the safety's in the big hitter, like Ronnie Lott and stuff like that. But that guy tries to just barely hit people and tackle people.
He's not very physical, and that was something about him coming out of college.
And I don't know how he was a ball hawk in college. I see nothing of that game in the NFL.
I'll call it progress.
Closing speed to go come across. I mean, what our Von Bell made an amazing play the other day, coming right way out of nowhere to assist. When Apple was beat and stopped it. That's what your safety does.
Yeah,
and it was just
that was my point though. That was like a 10 or 15 yard pass that he did that on. You get further down the field than that with this team and the safety. If Marcus Williams is in the television screen on a deep pass at any point during this season, I'm gonna call it progress. One time, if he's in the screen.
And here's the problem.
And we got a wide screen now, so it's covering a lot. This ain't the old square television.
Here's the problem with evaluating safeties is because if the Saints are playing single high safety, and his job is to not let anybody get deep, then he's doing his job.
Well, he's failing at that too. They get
see.
Deep.
I agree with that too because I keep thinking of plays he's giving up over the top. But it's hard to get from the center of the field all the way to the sidelines. And sometimes you say, okay, where's the weakness in the
there
Tampa 2?
There are other
two,
guys
the
in
seam,
this league. So every other safety that makes an impact in the NFL, they're just running completely different defenses than the Saints run?
No, but the thing
or
is,
or do those guys
I'm not
have the
to
ability
say,
to actually make a play occasionally?
Okay, but what you're suggesting is he's horrible and shouldn't be playing. I'm saying it could be something somewhere in between. Yeah. Maybe I'm just being an optimist.
Are you blaming it on the scheme, Dave?
No. What I'm saying is no matter what defense you run, there are holes in that defense, and if the other team is able to take advantage of it, you know, a Tampa 2, the seams are where you got to beat a Tampa 2. If you're playing single high, it's hard for that single high safety in the middle of the field. Now, if you're throwing a ball 40 yards down the field, he should be able to read the quarterback, turn his hips, and get there.
Should.
But if you're throwing, let's say, a 25-yard pass, he's going to have a hard time for him to make that read and have enough time to get to that position on the field. And that's where the hole in that particular defense – okay, I'm talking way too much. So if you can easily make the argument, if you got to over-explain it this much, then you might have a good point. Maybe I just don't want to give up.
Well, if I can go back to what David said earlier. So I think you're way too worried about what Marcus Williams has done in the preseason because he's probably not playing at full
speed. You still
butthurt
about that?
So, but, you know, we have to go with what he did during the season.
He's still butthurt about the preseason.
So last season, Marcus Williams took on so many plays the wrong angle, which is why he seems to get beat all the time because it's the wrong angle that he takes. So based on that, this is why the Saints – last year drafted two people for the defensive backfield, and this year drafted two people for the defensive backfield. Because I believe the coaches are aware that Marcus Williams is not going to be the answer that they expect in the back of this defensive unit.
Yeah, last year they let the guy go, though, the two guys that they drafted.
Yes, I know, but what I'm saying to you is...
but the point's still there, even though they
no,
cut
I
both.
Agree with you. You know, they did draft I agree guys. With... Yeah.
You know, and we're not talking about UDFA.
I'm still shocked that they let those two guys go last year.
And they're playing another team.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but they just didn't fit in with what they were trying to do. The two they drafted this year, I truly believe, fit in the defensive schemes that they're trying to call. So I think Hampton...
Yeah,
I think he's going to end up being on the developmental squad, but by the middle of the season, I wouldn't be surprised to see him activated. And I think the guy with the hyphenated name, Gardner or whatever the heck it is, I think he's going to make the team. So the writing might be on the wall for Marcus Williams.
The kid from Florida looks like another guy that's closer
yeah,
to the line
box
of scrimmage.
Players.
He's another Bell. He's another what was the guy before?
But he also plays slot, which is
Vaccaro. Yeah,
yeah. But he also plays slot.
Yeah, but those aren't free safeties. So
no,
my point is, if the Saints, I'm not saying you're wrong. So don't take me as arguing with you because after going through all this, I start thinking and I'm trying to make an argument and I'm like, man, I am trying to get too specific. And you're right. At some point, you just make plays when you're good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, though, where I do kind of disagree with you is they drafted guys, but none of them are true free safeties. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, did the Saints draft the hyphenated kid from Florida? He is a that's
Gardner
his new name.
Johnson.
He is a in the box kind of but the other kid was more
Hampton.
Of a free Hampton.
Yeah,
free
Hampton's
safety.
More of a yeah.
So
range.
But
and that's what I'm saying to you. I think that Hampton is going to start on developmental squad, but he's already shown enough times that
he's already shown up more than what people expected.
Yes. So I really think that the writing's on the wall for Marcus Williams.
Hampton is a true safety that I mean looks like he can be a hitter and has some closing speed and all.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I agree. They're saying that the Saints, I've heard a rumor that with a little tweak of an injury that he has, they may be like, hey, you shouldn't play this year. So that way he doesn't get taken trying to go to the practice squad.
Right.
They're trying to maybe IR him for the year. But Gardner Johnson, what's great about him is he's truly been listed as a safety, but he played nickelback all year last year in college. Like, he did not play safety at all. He played nickelback and he played a little outside corner. Like, the guy really can do just about anything. But with what he did on nickel, like, he really could become, with what we've been having the linebacker problems with, really two starting linebackers that are healthy. If we go with that five defensive back system, like, he really could actually see some playing time as a rookie.
Yep. I agree.
All right. Well, we hit that number. Tomas, any final thoughts?
Make sure and check my blog out. I'm trying to put a blog out every week, and I'm posting it on Twitter for everybody to follow along. So look at Tomas Mauricio 19 on Twitter, and you'll see. And, of course, my friends here are retweeting it, so you'll be able to get the direct link to it.
Yeah, a lot of early predictions of the roster I've seen. They have them keeping four running backs and line.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
That's the next thing I'm going to post is my 53 plus 7. Yeah. The 53 that make the team and the 7 on.
I think you got line, Kamara, Murray, and probably Washington.
And I think Washington. And I think Ozigbo is going to go to development squad. Maybe.
Let's hope he makes it.
Because Washington's got a concussion. And so it depends. He may not really be available.
Did he hit his head on his hands?
No. I understand that people are worried about him with his hands. But if you see the other two guys that they have running behind him, I don't see, you know, too much there. And I wrote this in a blog, Washington has a year of working with the team. He understands the offensive philosophy. He can block for Breeze. So I think that that's going to put him ahead of Kerwin Williams and
Ozigbo.
Jaquez
Rogers.
Rogers, he's more of a receiving back. He'd be more of a Kamara's kind of.
Yeah, but he doesn't block. That's the point.
No, and that's the thing is that I don't know if they have room for another guy like that. No. So, Heath, was that your final thoughts, or do you have something else you want to throw out there?
No, I'm just ready for the regular season to get started now.
Wesley, final thoughts.
I don't have a blog, but I have a new thing called MySpace. I'm taking applications for my top 10 friends list.
There you go.
You can see what my favorite 5 songs are, and you can come just check out pictures.
Nice. Thanks for letting us know that. We'll retweet that.
Yeah. And don't forget to tell the people we are going to be on the radio.
Oh, we are? Oh, okay. Yeah, next week, starting next week. Why you look so disappointed, man? My final thoughts. The kid, the running back from Houston. Can't remember.
Lamar Miller.
Yeah. Out. Blew his knee out. Yeah. That's going to be, I don't know. I hate to see somebody get injured, but that'll obviously make it a little bit more challenging for them on offense. So starting to kind of look forward to that regular season game.
Wow, that was a long way to go for that, but okay.
Holy cow.
Holy! Hey,
it's just the preseason, Dave. It's not a big deal.
Lamar Miller's like 75 years old anyway, so I don't know. I don't know what he was.
Fine, I'll just be quiet.
He's not the guy he was in Miami like 9 years ago or whatever anyway.
For Wesley Coleman, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on 97.7 starting next week. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Who dat?
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh, hey, Ethan, did you hear that Dave, Tomas, and Heath have a new podcast out this week?
No way. That's really cool. We should write a song for it.
BS and Beer is the show. BS and Beer is the show. To find out what Dave, Tomas, and Heath really know. Gotta love that podcast show. Gotta love that podcast show.
It's the number one place for Saints football news. How convenient.
Thanks, Dave.